Self-Evident is a platform that is dedicated to speaking truths that were once self-evident and doing so in love. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode, and this is our final stretch of our Foundations of Truth series, where we are going to be focusing on the solution to all of these problems that we have been looking at. Again, this is the last two episodes of our maternity leave series. If you're watching these, I'm still on maternity leave with my baby girl, and we still wanted to have content for you guys. And when we were brainstorming about what kind of content to produce, we thought that, you know what, it's been a while since we've gone back to the basics of our worldview, of why we believe what we believe, why we promote the things that we promote, and specifically why we talk about the topics that we talk about, specifically abortion and transgenderism, which I referenced heavily in the previous episode. And so we wanted this series to, again, go back to the basics of our worldview, that we are not conservative simply because it's the thing to be right now, or it's cool, or it's convenient, or it makes common sense. Although all of those things are technically true at this point in time, the reason we are conservative and the reason why we promote the worldview issues that we promote and the reason why we are so heavily talking about abortion and transgenderism and all of these things that affect our culture are because we have a worldview that is steeped in truth. And the truth that we believe is that God created the heavens and the earth, that He is the authority over all things. And if He is the authority over all things, He has the right to tell us what to do. He has the right to tell us how to live. And when we look at the fall of man and how that has steeped mankind into sin, as I referenced a few episodes ago, going back to Adam in the garden, and when we see how depraved mankind is, when we see that man's natural inclination is toward himself and not towards God, we start to make better sense of the world that we are living in. But that's not where the news stops, which is great news for us. And that is what we celebrate on Christmas, that Jesus came to be born as a human being. He came to die a perfect death. That's what we celebrate on Easter, that He died and that He rose again. And so that is what we're going to be focusing on today's episode, the redemption that we have in Christ as the solution to what we have been referencing for the past few episodes, that man has a big problem. We have this holy, set apart, perfect God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three separate persons, and yet the same nature. And we have this perfect God who ordered the world to work in a certain way. And man and his rebellion, Adam and Eve and their rebellion, plunged the entirety of mankind into sin, into where we are now conceived in sin. We have a sin nature, Psalm 51, Ephesians 2, that we are dead in our trespasses and sins. And so that's a really sad way to end those episodes. And yet today we get to revisit and meditate on the solution to this big problem, that we are so incapable of saving ourselves, Ephesians 2. We're not drowning and grasping for air. We're dead at the bottom of the ocean, and we need someone to breathe new life into us. And that is what Jesus came to do. He is our Redeemer. And throughout the Old Testament, there have been types and shadows of the redemption that would be offered in Christ. We see this in Exodus when God reveals himself as the deliverer to bring his people out of the land of Egypt. And he uses Moses as a type of Christ, a type of Redeemer to lead the people, to be that symbol of deliverance. He brings them through the desert. He brings them through the Red Sea. He brings them to the Promised Land. And in the book of Judges, then we get to these stories of how Israel would be in this cycle of repenting from their sin and then falling into rebellion, and God would send a judge to judge them. Then they would repent of their sin, and they were constantly in this cycle. And then we get to the kings, where the people demand a king like all the other nations have. And so God gives them a king, and he gives them Saul. And this king fails in his office as king. We are given the priests. The priests fail in their office as priests. We think of Eli in the book of Samuel, where he has these crazy sons that desecrate the temple in different ways. They dishonor the holy things that are within the temple. And Eli does not check his sons. And so God ends up taking the priest Eli's life. So the priesthood fails, and we have the prophets that fail as well. We need a perfect prophet. We need a perfect priest. We need a perfect king. That is what the entire Old Testament is pointing to. And even in the book of Ruth, we get this really cool story of a kinsman redeemer. And often people look at the book of Ruth and they see it as a fun romance story. But really what this book is pointing to, again, everything in the Bible is about Jesus. This book is pointing to Jesus as our kinsman redeemer. And now, just taking a little sidetrack to explain what a kinsman redeemer is, I have another article, and again, I will link everything below so that you can reference everything for yourself, that the kinsman redeemer is a male relative who, according to various laws in the Pentateuch, had the privilege or responsibility to act on behalf of a relative who was in trouble, danger, or need. The story of Ruth and Boaz begins when Ruth and her mother-in-law, Naomi, returned to Bethlehem from Moab, where they have been living. Naomi's husband, both her sons are dead, and one of her sons was the husband of Ruth, so Ruth is now without a husband. They are left penniless. They have no male protector. So upon arriving in Bethlehem, Naomi sends Ruth to glean in the fields of Boaz, as Boaz is a wealthy, distant relative of Naomi's. And through divinely inspired series of events, we have Boaz meeting Ruth, being impressed with her work ethic, being impressed with her spirituality and her maturity and her properness. And Boaz agrees to the redemption of them and buys the property that was left behind by Naomi and Ruth when they left to go to Moab. And he also takes Ruth as his wife, and together they have a son named Obed, who eventually becomes the father of David. And eventually, of course, as we know, Jesus is from the line of David. And so we have that really quick story in the book of Ruth meant to point us toward Jesus. And then we see Jesus in the New Testament, that he is often regarded as another example of our kinsman redeemer. Hebrews 2:11 calls him our brother. He also redeems us because of our great need, one that only he can satisfy. And that was typical of a kinsman redeemer, that relatives would be in a very desperate position where only the kinsman redeemer could be their savior in that sense. And we have that picture of Christ in the New Testament. And so we have these types and shadows in the Old Testament of what we're looking forward to, that we have this sin problem, we have this desperate need problem, and who can fill this? And then Jesus comes on the scene in Luke 2. He's born as a baby. He is 100% God, and yet he is 100% man. He came to not just be born, but he came to die. He took our place. He is our, again, our redeemer. We have redemption in Christ, and redemption includes eternal life, Revelation 5, 9, and 10, forgiveness of sins, Ephesians 1, 7, righteousness that is now accredited to our account, Romans 5, 17, freedom from the curse of the law, Galatians 3, 13. We are now adopted into God's family, Galatians 4, 5. We have deliverance from the bondage of sin, Titus 2, 14, and 1 Peter 1, 14 to 18. We now have peace with God, Romans 5. We now have the indwelling Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. So to be redeemed then is to be forgiven, to be holy, to be set apart, to be saved from sin. And when we look back on the past three episodes that we've done on man's sinful condition, and then last episode we looked at these cultural things that are a symptom of that, that broadcast man's rebellion of abortion and transgenderism, we have to see that as a society, correct policy is good. We as Christians should advocate for godly policies, for policies that promote family values, that promote morality. And yet what we have to recognize at the end of the day is that the only thing that can bring true healing to our country, healing to our culture, is not a Republican in the White House. It's not a Republican majority in Congress. It's not a Republican Supreme Court. It's not a Republican governor. It's none of those things. The only thing that can truly offer the peace and the morality that we as Christians, that conservatives are seeking, is redemption in Christ. Freedom from sin, freedom from the penalty of sin, a new heart. That is the only thing that will free our country from the bondage to sin that it is in. And that's the point, again, of this series, of getting us back to what is our worldview when we tackle the issues of the day? What is our worldview when we tackle abortion and transgenderism? And like I said, I think it was last episode, that if you don't come at these issues from a higher authority argument, at the end of the day, all you have is an opinion. Again, I've seen so many videos of pro-abortion protesters openly admitting that the baby is a baby, that it is a human being, that it's a human life. And if we don't come at these worldview questions, because they are worldview questions, they're not political questions, these are Bible questions. If we don't come at them from biblical authority, we are doing our nation a disservice. We are doing our God a disservice. We are doing our neighbor a disservice. We're not here to make more Republicans. We're here to make more disciples of Jesus Christ. We are, again, in bondage to sin, and Jesus has to buy our freedom back. And that's what he did on the cross for his people, that he took the wrath that we deserved. He died the death that would only satisfy God's wrath. And he is now seated at the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for us. Hebrews tells us that. And so now we have a living Redeemer who intercedes with us for us on a daily basis. He prays for us. Scripture tells us that we would fight temptation, that we would become conformed into his image. And what a beautiful hope that we as Christians now have, that we have this redemption in Christ. We have meaning to our life. We have a worldview that makes sense. And so this is what we use when we use arguments against abortion, when we use arguments against transgenderism. It's not necessarily that we use science, although science can be helpful. Biology is obviously very helpful. God created biology. He created the body to work a certain way. We can absolutely use those as factors. And yet at the end of the day, it has to be the authority that we have in Christ, the identity that we have in Christ, and the authority that comes from his word. All right, guys, I hope this episode was helpful for you as we went into what redemption is in Christianity, who we have redemption in, and we have it in Jesus Christ, and what this means for our argumentation that we use when we, as Self-Evident, as our platform, talks about different things on social media, when we write about different things, that this is the worldview that we are coming at it with. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. And until next time, let us firmly rely on the protection of divine providence. This is Self-Evident.